Take your Bible, if you will, this morning over to the Old Testament prophet Habakkuk, all right? I'll give you a minute or two to find it. It's not the easiest book to find. If you got an old Scofield Reference Bible, it's on page 956, all right? Page 956, if you have an old Scofield Reference Bible, all right? Now, if you got something else, it's probably going to be on another page. But the book of Habakkuk, all right? It's Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Habakkuk. It's right there, all right? It's right there, okay? You can't miss it. If you've got to Revelation, you're going too far. You need to back up. There you go. It's right before Zephaniah, all right? It's just easier to get a Scofield Bible, right? And then I'll tell you the page, and you're better off, all right? Okay. Oh, that's okay. You said, "Preacher, why do you use Scofield Bible?" Because my dad did. And I got used to it, and it's there. And now, you said, I thought you used the King James Bible. Well, it is a King James, all right? It's a King James Bible, and it's only a Scofield because Scofield put some notes in it. And I hardly ever look at the notes. Just so seldom is unbelievable. But I get used to a Scofield Bible because every Scofield Bible, the pages are the same. They're laid out, all right? So you say, what do you mean by that? Well, sometimes I can remember a verse of Scripture and I say, man, I'm pretty sure it's in this book. I can't remember exactly where it's at, but because I'm used to my Scofield Bible, I said, I'm pretty sure it's on the right-hand page in the first column, and there you find it, okay? It'll always be that way. Now, I would encourage you to do this. Now, you don't have to be a Scofield. Right? Whatever you do, don't get a new Scofield. Don't get a new Scofield, all right? You're going to get a Scofield Bible, be sure you get the old Scofield Bible, all right? And don't do the new one. But whatever you do, I'd encourage you to get a Bible that you stick with, that kind, because of that very reason I said you get used to it, all right? You know, you say, well, I can't remember exactly where it's at, but I'm pretty sure it's on that left-hand page, you know, and up here towards the top, and you can find verses. I'd encourage you to do it. And there's a lot of different Bibles out there. The only ones I can really call that I know are the same is a Thompson Chain and a Scofield, all right? Brother Dunbar, do you use Thompson Chain? No. Does anybody here use Thompson Chain reference Bible? Your husband did, all right? Okay, Brother Noble did. All right, good. Well, pick you one, get used to it, all right? Habakkuk chapter 2, one verse, verse 4, familiar verse. Behold, his soul, which is lifted up, is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. The just shall live by his faith. I want to preach to you just a little bit this morning on living by faith. You know, I'm amazed people believe in faith. Now, oftentimes people mock Bible believers. They, you know, oh, man, all that faith, you know, that pie in the sky and the by, and you just think if you believe. But it's amazing to me, the people that will mock Bible believers in our faith are also people that have faith. Because how many times have you heard somebody say, you just have to believe? Now, they may be talking about their stinking ball team. You know, well, you just have to believe. Ball teams say that. Game show contestants do it. Folks say you just got to have faith, all right? But now they're not talking about Bible faith, okay? They're not necessarily talking about Bible faith, but for Christian people, look, biblical faith is faith in God. Biblical faith, when I'm talking to you about living by faith, I'm not talking to you about just, you just got to believe. No, I'm not talking about that, all right? I mean, I'm saying you need to live by faith, and that is a faith in God. The Bible is a book of faith, book of faith. Now, some critic would say, well, it's just faith that you believe it's true. Come on, you got to be kidding. Man, there is so much evidence that the Bible's true that it's mind-boggling, okay? Just so much evidence of the truth of the Bible. The Bible has been right down through the centuries when science was wrong, when philosophy was wrong, when politics was wrong, and when theology was wrong. The Bible's right, been right, whole time. You can count on it, but it is a book of faith. Christianity is a life of faith. It is a life of faith. The Bible says the just shall live, all right, by his faith. The just shall live by his faith. You said, what in the world is that faith? Well, the Bible says in Hebrews 11, verse 1, now faith is a substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. But I've noticed a lot of people hear those words and they still look confused. Hey, you say, what is faith? Faith is just simply trusting and believing God and his word. Just believing them and acting on that belief. See, that's living by faith. That's living by faith. People say, well, I believe that, yeah. I think it was maybe, it could have been one of the Walendas. Now, the Walendas are a very famous family of circus performers, and they're tightrope walkers, all right? The one that's been well known here in the last relatively few years has walked across a canyon and walked between buildings in Chicago and that kind of thing. But I think it's one of them that one time he had a wheelbarrow, and he was there, and he said, hey, how many of you believe that I can push this wheelbarrow across that tight wire? And a multitude of people raise their hand. Oh, yeah, man, I got faith you can do that. Well, how many of you are riding the wheelbarrow? Nobody's hand went up. All right? Nobody's hand went up. See, that's the difference in faith and living by faith. It's one thing to say, well, I believe it. Well, do you act on it, okay? Do you act on that belief? I mean, do you really have that faith in it? There have been times where, you know, used to down in East Texas where my grandparents used to live, there was a wooden bridge that crossed the village creek. And every time we'd come, it used to be one going, I just thought about it, to my grandparents' house in Georgia too, just an old wooden bridge. And every time as a kid we'd get on there, I'd get on there praying, Lord, don't let this thing fall in while we're on it. And if you ever driven across a bridge like that, you hear the wood, you know, going across it. And you, in your mind, you think the whole thing is shaking, you know. It's a matter of faith in that work and that I'm faith in that builder and I'll get on it. Hey, faith in that man that's pushing that wheelbarrow across that tightrope. I've got faith. I believe he can, but do I have enough faith to get in that wheelbarrow? Hey, the Christian life is to be lived by faith. Faith is for living. The truth of the matter is all about living. I'm just going to give you three very simple points this morning, all right? First, I want you to go with me to Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3. If you're going to live by faith, you need to have faith to flee. Faith to flee. Now, you say, huh? Okay, here we are, Matthew 3, verse 7. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Hey, I believe you ought to have faith to flee. Faith to flee. Too often when we think of fleeing, it's one-sided. One-sided. Really, probably even if you go to the definition of the word flee in the dictionary, and I didn't do this, but I think if you did, it would be to run away from, right? Is that not what you think when you think of fleeing? We think, I'm running away from something. If I'm going to flee, I'm fleeing maybe because somebody is chasing me. We flee, and we think of it as running away, and that's the only thing we think of when we think of fleeing. But when we flee from something, we usually flee to something. Hey, when you flee from danger, You're fleeing to safety, are you not? Yeah, you're fleeing to safety. When you flee from fear, you're fleeing to a place where you can be confident. All right? Feel secure. Hey, we flee the bad guys to the good guys, right? We flee the bad guys, we run to the good guys. Sure, that's what it's all about. A fleeing is always, yeah, it's from, but it's also to. Can I tell you this morning, there's no greater place for you to flee to than to the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Man, that he's the one you ought to flee to. And I would encourage you to do that. He is the place of safety. He is the person of security. If you're going to flee, flee to him, all right? Flee to him. We talk about fleeing the wrath to come. Well, where are you going? On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground. There's only one place to flee to, all right? Only one place to flee to. Hey, man, if you ever found yourself in the middle of an earthquake, where do you run to? Where do you run to? Well, you say, run outside. Well, it's still shaking out there, man, all right? Still shaking out there. My cousin, I've heard people talking about, you know, he lives out in Southern California, and he sometimes he gets kind of cocky, and actually he's that way a lot. But sometimes he talks about, we don't have to worry about tornadoes around here. I said, the ground don't shake where I live, buddy. All right? I said, I can run from a tornado. You can't run from an earthquake. You just can't do it. Now, my sister-in-law is probably over there because I know the way she thinks. She said, we're having earthquakes in Oklahoma. Yeah, but let's face it, the houses aren't falling. The buildings aren't coming tumbling down, all right? That's not happening. Oh, a little tremors here. But hey, man, where do you flee to in that case? I'm going to tell you, in this old world, the best place to flee to is the Lord Jesus Christ. Just run to him. Boy, hey, he's the only place of safety and surety. Hey, I guarantee you, he's the only place of salvation. You can't live by faith until you fled from a life of sin to the Savior. When I was a nine-year-old boy, I decided to flee from that life of sin. And I ran to the Savior, and if you'd let me put it this way, not literally but figuratively, I jumped up in his arms and said, you got to save me, because there's nobody else can do it. Flee to him. Flee to him. Oh, listen, just flee. You need that faith to flee. Faith to flee. Oh, but that's not all. You need faith to fly. You need faith to fly. The songwriter said, I want to live above the world. I want to live above the world. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 31 speaks of a mounting up with wings as eagles to fly, to fly. Faith to fly. I don't know how many of y'all know this. Probably a good number do. I have a pilot's license. Private pilot's license. I can't right now because I haven't had a check ride in a long time and I haven't had the medical certificate done, but I could legally fly an airplane, all right? But you say, why'd you get that? Because I was afraid to fly. I was afraid to fly. My friend came over one day and he kept telling me, he said, man, I bought an airplane. Now, this guy talked a lot, and I really didn't believe him. And I said, sure, sure. And he said, yeah, I want to come over and take you up one day. Yeah, sure, sure. Well, then one day, push came to shove, and he said, hey, listen, how about coming with me and flying? Now, remember, I was afraid to fly. And I'm serious. But I didn't want to tell him I was chicken. So I was more afraid of him knowing I was chicken than I was afraid to fly, all right? So I met him at an airport that no longer exists. There's a little field that was located off of what's now North Beach Street. All that area is covered in houses now, but I met him over there one day and got in that airplane, and we took off. And the whole time I'm going, I didn't want to let him know I'm holding on with all that I've got, Okay. I didn't want to let him know that, but we flew and we landed later, and I got to thinking, you know, it's stupid in the 20th century to be afraid to fly. It's ridiculous. I mean, the plane's going everywhere, and I'm going to conquer this. And I say, the best way I know to conquer it, I'm going to learn to fly. And he got after me to buy a half interest in an airplane. I bought a half interest, and I took my first flight with an instructor. And you hold on to the controls. It's called a yoke, all right? I just want you to know, if that plane had crashed, they would have had to bury me with that yoke in my hands. Because I didn't realize I had such, I was scared. I really didn't realize I was so scared, but I was so scared I had a death grip on that yoke. To the point, and the instructor noticed it. He kept saying, you know, I'm sitting here, and he said, relax. I go, okay. Relax. Okay. I'm relaxed. When we landed after that first instructional flight, and it came time to turn loose of those controls, I couldn't. Now, I don't know if you've ever gripped anything that hard that long. You don't know what I'm talking about. But I really thought I was going to have to say, would you mind reaching over here and prying my fingers off these controls? And literally, it was like this. I mean, I had to straighten each finger out slow. That's all I could do. I was petrified. Hey, and that's the way a lot of people are in their life. Oh, you'll get on an airplane. Yeah, and you'll do something foolish. But hey, I'm talking about living your life. We're afraid to cut loose and just live by faith. To just trust God. We never please God with our lives because the Bible says without faith it is impossible to please Him. And we never turn loose of the control in our life and never go to Him and allow Him to take control and say to Him, Lord, here I am, I'm yours, I'll do whatever you want me to do. I'll live for you. I'll take that next step as a Christian. I will serve you. Now listen, I'm not necessarily talking about you becoming a preacher or a missionary, and I'm not talking about full-time service, but I mean you just be willing to say with your life, Lord, I'll do it. I will do what you say. I'm saved now, and I'm going to try to live this life by faith instead of trying to figure it out. I'm going to live for you. Hey, far too many people live a life down in the depths instead of out where they could really enjoy in life. Listen, I in Sunday school this morning we were talking about how Isaac got all that his father had to give. He got the whole inheritance. You and I as God's people, we have access to all that our Father has because the Bible says we're joint heirs with Christ. That means everything that the Father has is available to us. But yet we live in the pits. We don't live on the mountaintop up there, up in the heights. We don't live up where it is. Why? Because we're satisfied to live in the bottom. We don't want to step out and serve God. We're not willing to put our faith in Him. We're not willing to say, Lord, I'll do it, and I'll wait upon your leading, and I'll launch out with my life. We're not ready to do that. If you will, go in Luke chapter 5, all right? Luke chapter 5 in your Bible. I want you to notice this verse where Peter and the disciples with him, they had been fishing all night and hadn't caught anything. All right, and in this case, he was talking to them, and they were fishing, you know, and they were washing their nets, and he wanted them to go, and he spoke from that boat. In verse 4, he said, when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Now, that's where most of us stop. That's where our answer to God stops. He tells us to launch out, and we say, I've toiled all night and ain't caught nothing. Why don't you notice the next word? Peter said there in verse 5, nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. Because you said do it, Lord, I'm going to do it. So what's that? Well, that's faith in God. That's faith in God. That's faith to step out beyond what I think I can do and beyond my ability, beyond my thoughts, beyond my trust and my figuring, and just saying, Lord, because you said it, I'll do it. I'll do it. Launch out. Hey, we don't do that. We don't have faith to fly. We don't do it. We sit. We're content. We look around at other people and say, I sure would enjoy that. Well, do it then. The same promise they're acting on is good for you. Same promise they've took. Hey, it's good. Hey, those who yearn to launch out most often want to do it on their own strength. Well, preacher, I'm just waiting until everything looks good. When the conditions are perfect, when the circumstances are right, we're going to do it. We're going to do it. I told you I've got that private pilot's license. It's enjoyable flying when the conditions are perfect. When the conditions are perfect. You say, what's perfect? If it's about 40 degrees outside, no clouds, a cold front has just come through, everything is calmed down, there's no clouds, no wind, conditions are perfect. Condition, man, it's good. An airplane operates real well under those conditions. When it's hot and humid, an airplane will not perform as well. That the same airplane will not perform as well. We got off one morning with that instructor I had after I finally got past the first experience. We were in that plane one morning early. We were flying to Oklahoma, and he said, all right, he trimmed it out. I won't go into all of that, but he trimmed it out, and he said, just sit back and fold your arms. We sat there and folded our arms, and that old plane just flying perfect. He said, all right, lean to the right with me. We both leaned to the right, and that old airplane slowly began a right turn. Just turning to the right. Then it's straight back up, and the old plane straight back out. Lean to the left, it'd start turning to the left. Beautiful. Now, if it's windy and bumpy and hot and everything, don't do that, all right? It's not that you're going to crash immediately, but I mean, it's not going to be smooth flying. But that's the best flying, boy. When it's like that, it's wonderful. But it's not like that very often. Hey, that's our problem here in this life. We're waiting on conditions to be perfect. Lord, I'm going to do that as soon as. No. God's saying now. Don't say, I'm waiting until the conditions aren't going to be perfect. Circumstances only get there. Hey, it's not going to do it. Launch out and decide, Lord, I've got the faith to fly with you and to do what you say, and I'm going to do it when you say to do it. I'm ready to go. Faith to just jump out. Launch out into the deep. Take off. Take off for him. Trusting him. That's faith. To live your life by faith. What a marvelous way to live. Well, preacher, I just can't see. I know we can't. That's why it's a life of faith. The life of faith, all right? Faith to fly, faith to flee. Go with me now to 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5, would you? There near the end of the New Testament. 1 Peter chapter 5, won't you look at verse 7? The Bible says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. You said, preacher, what's that got to do with faith? Well, we need faith to fling. To fling, if you will. Here's where great faith is demanded. Great faith is demanded. In the midst of troubles and trials and problems, boy, we need faith to cast all our cares upon him. All our cares upon him. I'm going to go back to my flying experiences, if you don't mind. Illustrate this message this way. I had to make a long cross-country flight. Had three legs. Each leg had to be at least 100 miles. And that's what flying by myself. By that time, I'd soloed. And I took off from another airfield that no longer exists. And it's covered by houses, too. Ashley and Tuffy, they live right over there close to where that airfield was. And took off, and I was flying to Abilene. It was a nice, sunshiny day, warm. You think, well, that's good. No, not so much. Because that heat rising makes it bumpy. You ever been in a jet when you run into turbulence? If you've been in flying in a jet, well, that's wonderful. But you get in a Cessna 150 when you get that heat rising off the ground, man. I'll tell you what, that plane would drop out from under me. I mean, literally, my seat, I'm belted in, got seatbelt on, but my seat left the seat, all right? I'm flying out along there, and it's bumping, man, and it's over and over, and I'm by myself, and I'm still not the most confident person in the world flying, you know? I'm flying out across there, and I came just that close, and I'm turning around and going back. But I got out to Ranger. Now, if you're familiar with the geography of the land at Ranger, you climb Ranger Hill. It's famous, all right? Ranger Hill. Truckers slow down, not because they want to, but they have to, all right? Going up that hill. I'm out there in that country like that, and, man, it was boom, those updrafts coming off of that, and I'm bouncing along. Once I crossed that and got on top of that land that's smooth and flat, everything smoothed out. Smoothed out as okay. Hey, listen, I had to have faith in that airplane. I had to have faith in that airplane. You said, well, didn't you trust God? I'm not sure. God might have said, well, you're the dummy that got in it. Okay. So I'm there, but I had to have faith in that airplane to take that kind of weather and that kind of bump, and it seemed awful bad to me. But I'm sure it's really not bad at all compared to what many others have been through. Well, listen, I'll tell you, there's going to come a time in your life you're going to have some difficulty. Hey, when the sun's shining, there's no problems, everything is going just right, you can almost live without faith, and a lot of people do. A lot of people do. Now, you shouldn't. A lot of people do. But when there comes a time when things go wrong, and it seems like trials are dark on every hand, and we cannot understand, we don't see it, we can't figure it, it's tough, and problems abound, I tell you, it takes faith to keep on serving God. It takes faith to keep on serving the Lord. You're going through troubles, you're going through trials, but that's when you need to fling yourself upon Him. Say, Lord, here I am, I'm trusting You. I'm trusting You, I can't figure it out, I can't see the way, I don't know how to overcome it, I don't know how it's going to be. Hey, you're going to have to trust Him. Ask Daniel. Ask Daniel. Daniel, they said, Daniel, now you got to quit that praying, all right? We done passed a law. Daniel said, okay. Glad you passed the law. He still got down on his knees, still opened the windows of the house so anybody wanted to could see him, because that was his way, and he got on his knees and he prayed. And they took him. They put him in that den of lions. Hey, folks, I'll tell you, I don't know about y'all, but I'm not that comfortable around lions. I'm really not. I'm not a cat enthusiast. I sure don't like those with big teeth and big claws, all right? And so here he was. He had to have faith. Things didn't look too good from his point of view, but he had to have faith. Think about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I mean, they're told, you're going to bow down and worship that image. If you don't, we're going to cast you into the furnace, fiery furnace. Man, I love the words, and I hope if it ever came to me in that situation, I hope I'd have the courage of those three men, and they would be willing. And as they looked at the king and said, you know what? I just tell you, we're not going to do it, and God's going to take care of us, and we'll get through. But if not, we still ain't going to do it. Said, if the Lord doesn't deliver us, it's okay. I'm still not going to bow down and worship your God. That's faith. They had to fling themselves upon the Lord. Listen, that's what you and I need to learn to do in life. There's going to be some times that are tough. There are going to be some times that are hard. You're going to go through some trials. Boy, you need faith to fling. Fling yourself upon God and say, Lord, here I am. I'm giving myself to you. I'm trusting you in spite of everything, in spite of all the circumstances, in spite of all the way it looks. Here I am. I'll fling myself upon you. Faith. Living by faith. Hey, listen, you ought to fling your sin upon him. That's the only way you'll get saved. If you don't fling your sin upon him, you won't be saved. Hey, he took my sin upon him on that tree. He took your sin upon him on that tree. If I'm not willing to give it to him, I got no hope of heaven. Because I can't pay for it. You can't pay for it. Yet the world today seems to think they can. And most people you talk to, they tell you, I'm going to heaven because I'm good and I try to do good things, live a good life. Yeah, well, Jesus died for nothing then. No, he died for me and for you. I'm going to fling my sin upon him and get saved. Tell you what, I'm going to fling my situation upon him. Lord, here's my situation. I'm just going to give it to you, all right? I'm going to give it to you because if I'm going to make it through, you're going to have to sustain me. So here it is, it's yours, and I'm looking to you to sustain me. Hey, the truth of the matter is, I'm going to fling myself upon him. Fling myself upon him. I did that years ago. I just said, Lord, here I am. You can have me. See what you can do with me. This unworthy, incapable, inept individual. But Lord, I'll let you have all of me. Would you do whatever you can with me? With me? That introverted guy, shy, didn't like to speak. Lord, here I am. I'll do whatever you want me to do. Listen, I just flung myself upon him. What have you done? What's your life of faith? Well, I trusted him that much to save me. Just that much, and he saved me. Well, what about since then? What about your life? Well, I'm trying to get everything put together. Yeah, you're going to be trying that the rest of your life. Why don't you just fling yourself upon him and say, Lord, here I am. I'm willing to step out and trust you. I'm willing to trust what you say for whatever comes. My trust is in you. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweet refrain, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. Now the just shall live by his faith. Are you living by faith today? We sing the song, I care not today what tomorrow may bring. And inside we're thinking, what am I saying? I'm worried right now about what tomorrow's going to bring. Man, don't live your life that way. Live it. Yeah, I care not today what tomorrow may bring, sunshine, shadow, or rain. The Lord I know ruleth o'er everything. All of my worry is vain. Waste time. Live by faith. Are you living that way? Do you have faith to flee? Flee to him. Flee to him. Do you have faith to fly? Do you have faith to fling? Hey, are you living by faith today? Would you stand, please, with every head bowed and every eye closed? Our Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning. We know what the Bible says. We've read it. The just shall live by his faith. We know, Lord, that the Bible says without faith it is impossible to please you. We know, Lord, we're to live by faith. Lord, it's one thing to say, I've got faith. But Lord, it's another thing to act upon that faith. Lord, would you stir us today that we'd live by faith? We'd decide to just cut loose and obey you.